associate pastor here at Harvest Time. And as Joshua mentioned, just after the service, we would love to have the chance to greet you, just say hello to you in the reception room, which is located right off the lobby. If you have your Bibles with you, let me invite you to come over with me to Psalm 149, Psalm 149. While you're headed over there, I want to just thank you for praying for our Philippines missions team. They arrived back a few days ago, and we're so thankful for the success of their outreaches and their medical missions there in the Philippines. Where's our Philippines team? Just shoot up a hand and bless them. All right, and don't forget, this Wednesday, Pastor Sergio is going to be sharing with us, and then the following Wednesday, our friend Pastor Elio Barros is going to be sharing the word of the Lord. These brothers always bring us such a great word, and we're really looking forward to their ministry among us. All right, Psalm 149, we're going to talk today about victory through your praises, victory through your praises. In verse 1, Psalm 149, it says, "Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord." Let's talk today about victory through your praises. Will you pray with me? Let's invite God's blessing on us as we look into the word of the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your word. It's truly the lamp for our feet. It is the light for our pathway. Jesus, you said that the word of God is like seed. So Lord, we ask that in these next few moments of time that you would touch our hearts. Let our hearts be good soil, soil that can bear fruit from the seed of the word of God. Jesus, you said that the words you speak to us, they are spirit and they are life. So would you send your spirit, minister life to us, Lord, out of your word today. If you agree with that, would you say amen and amen. Last week, we kicked off a short series on the topic of worship. We're going to be speaking about worship again today and next Sunday also. Through these messages, we want to help you encounter God's presence and see his power released in your life. This series is really just a brief overview, of course, but we trust that it will help you to develop a lifestyle of worship. Last week, we shared some of the basics of worship. We said that God is looking for people to worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, from the heart and with sincerity. We talked about ministering to the Lord, which means serving him with our worship. We saw how the Bible reveals a pattern for worship. We enter into God's presence first with thanksgiving, and then we go deeper by praising him and proclaiming his greatness. You see, when we start to thank God, our gratitude then causes us to praise him. And when we praise him, we sense him manifesting his presence in our midst, which in turn causes us to adore him. We also shared the benefits of worshiping the Lord, how God blesses us when we worship. He reveals his presence, he speaks to us, and as we worship him, he also renews our strength, and he renews our vision. Now, this morning, we're looking at Psalm 149. If you don't know, the book of Psalms is a special book in the middle of the Bible. It's a collection of prayers and songs that the Jewish people and the church have used as their prayer book for thousands of years. Many of the Psalms are songs of praise, but Psalm 149 is somewhat unique. It too is a worship song, but it's also a song of war. It shows us how God wants to defeat our enemies through our praise. You might have heard of the armor of God and the sword of the Spirit, but did you know that God wants to train you to defeat the enemy, to fight against the enemy with your tongue? Now let's be honest, before we met Jesus, some of us were already pretty good at fighting with our tongue. But now God has appointed our tongues for better things. He wants us to use our tongues to encourage people. He wants us to use our tongues to minister healing to people. But he also wants to use our tongues to defeat our spiritual enemies. Do you know the Bible says that the devil and the spirits that serve him are very real? How many of you know the devil is not a myth? And the devil and his agents work against the people of God. But through faith in God and the praises of our mouths, we can see the enemy defeated and see people get set free from his grip. So let's talk about that this morning. Inside your program, there's a little handout that you can use to follow along with us and maybe take some notes also if you would like to. Today we're going to share three lessons about praise taken from Psalm 149. Let's explore three keys that will help us to get victory through our praises. And the first one is this: faith comes when we understand the reasons for our praise. Faith comes when we understand the reasons for our praise. Last week we talked about David, the most famous worshiper in the Bible. David wrote the famous 23rd Psalm that we've all heard, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And of course, he wrote many other beautiful songs that have encouraged believers for centuries. In fact, David might have written fully half of the Bible's 150 Psalms. For 3,000 years, people have used his words to strengthen their faith. But you know, David was human just like you and me. David had some bad days. In fact, David had a lot more bad days than most of us, actually. And so David needed some fuel for his faith. He needed something to keep his faith burning strongly. Church, just like David, every single one of us faces challenging situations. Your enemy may not be a 10-foot-tall giant like David's enemy was, but your enemies are still very real. And in order to face our giants, you and I need God's help. To get the confidence that we need to step out onto our battlefield, our trust in God will need to be strong. Our trust in him will need to be stronger than all the voices that are coming at us. How many of you know that the devil's voice can make you timid? Do you know that? Do you know that the enemy's voice spoken to you can make us shrink back? A word of doubt, a threat from the enemy, or maybe a word of mockery can stop us from stepping into the future that God wants to lead us into. Read the Bible and you'll see that David and many other heroes of the faith, they faced these same tactics of intimidation, physical threats and dangers, sickness, rejection from loved ones, disappointment and embarrassment. David and all of these heroes had to find fuel for their faith, and they did so by encouraging themselves in the Lord. How did they do it? Well, they remembered the character of God. In other words, they remembered what God is like. They also remembered the mercies that God had shown them in the past, the record of God's faithfulness. How many of you could say that God is faithful because you've seen his works of faithfulness in your lives? And they also did it by remembering the promises that God had made to them about their future. They grew confident in God as they meditated on these things, and they began to understand why. They began to understand the reasons that they could praise God. In Psalm 149, we find some especially beautiful reasons to praise God and rejoice in him. And maybe you're here today and you're feeling that today it's a little hard for you for some reason to praise God. Maybe it seems hard for you to worship him today. Well, this will help you. Call to mind these powerful reasons to rejoice in him. And you know what? The joy that the enemy's been trying to stuff down back into your heart, that joy will start to flow out of your spirit once again. Let me just share a few of these reasons with you from Psalm 149. First, we rejoice because he made us. Verse 2 says, "Let Israel rejoice in their maker." Friends, you can rejoice because God has made you. Ephesians 2 says that we are his workmanship. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you are a piece of work. Now that Greek word workmanship, it's the word that gives us our English word poem. Isn't that awesome? You are God's poem and you are God's work of art. That's a reason to rejoice. You see, God loved you and he planned to create you before he ever made the worlds. Romans 8 says that he destined believers to become like his son. You are not an accident. You are not an afterthought. You were deliberately and meticulously crafted, a one-of-a-kind masterpiece designed before time itself. And that's a reason to rejoice in him. Let it give you confidence today in the Lord. We can also rejoice because he's made us to be his people. Verse 2 goes on to say, let the children of Zion be joyful. Not only is God your maker, he's your redeemer. And he's made you one of his people. You're a child of Zion, and that's the capital city of the king. So guess what? That means that God has invited you to live in his home. God has created us. He's created you not just to serve him, listen, but he's created you to be an eternal friend for his son. That's the marvelous destiny that is waiting for you someday. But even here and now, God gives us heart-to-heart fellowship with Jesus the Son. I'm so glad the Bible says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And he also says, I call you friends. That's a reason to rejoice in him. That's a reason that you have to praise him every day. We can rejoice also because God, our God, is ruling over us. Verse 2 also says, let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. This one's harder to grasp for us, both as Americans, because we've never had a king, and also because most countries today don't have a king who has any actual power. But what if there were a king who did have absolute power over his realm? And what if this king was the sum of all wisdom? What if he exemplified everything that his people might hope for in a ruler? And what if this king did everything for his people's good, and he guided them perfectly? A church, we have such a king. We have a shepherd king who said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. His name is Jesus. Jesus rules over my life. He numbers my days. He orders my life, and he filters everything that comes to me in life through his loving fingers. He even chastens me when I need it for my good so that I'll grow up to resemble him. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, but he doesn't use that authority to lord it over his flock. No, he uses that authority to care for you and me. David said, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. So church, think about it. Think about who is ruling over us. Who is ruling over us as king? The God who is willing to go to the cross. No wonder David said, let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. I think we need to take a moment right here. Just give him a moment of praise. Come on, right here. Here's another reason to rejoice in him. He delights in us. I think some of us need to learn for once and for all, perhaps, that God doesn't just tolerate you. God enjoys you. Verse 4 says, the Lord, listen, the Lord takes pleasure in his people. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to understand this today. Listen, church, God does not watch you coldly from afar. No, he loves you up close and personal, and he delights in you. You know, the Bible says that one day God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. I don't know about you, but the last time that I wiped away somebody's tears from their eyes, I wasn't too far away from them. He delights in you. God says in Jeremiah, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with my loving kindness." Some of us struggle with this, right? Because in life we have all experienced too many hurts and too much rejection. And if we're being honest, of course, sometimes we too have rejected and hurt others. So maybe it's hard for some of us here this morning to imagine that God, who after all is the ultimate authority figure, it's hard for us to imagine that that God actually enjoys you. He enjoys your company. But he does. And he finds you special. Zephaniah 3 says this about him. By the way, you ought to read some of those little books in there that you can't find without tabs. They're great. Not Zechariah, Zephaniah, right? You don't want to go to heaven, right, and meet these guys. "Oh, hi, I'm Zephaniah. Hi, Zephaniah, I'm Nick. How'd you like my book?" "What?" There's good stuff in those books. So not Zechariah, but Zephaniah 3 says this about God. Listen, he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. Any of you moms and dads, grandparents, have you ever quieted a child with your love? That's how God does us. And listen, this is the kicker. He will rejoice over you with singing. And if you really want to get weirded out by this, that word rejoice over you, it means spin around and dance. So can you imagine God delighting in you so much that he rejoices over you like that? Church, that's a reason to rejoice in him too. You think about that for a while. That will build your faith. It'll make you confident to face the enemy of your soul. Here's another reason to praise him from Psalm 149. We rejoice in him because he gives us his presence. Verse 4, it says, he will beautify the meek or the humble. He will beautify them with salvation. The Hebrew there is really cool. It says, he will adorn them or decorate them. What can God decorate us with that's better than his presence? He gives us his own glory, the touch of his presence on our lives. Isaiah said the same thing. He said, he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness, just like a bridegroom decks himself out with ornaments and like a bride adorns herself with her jewels. We can be confident in God always because we know he's with us. Jesus said, see, I am with you always. He says, I will never leave you or forsaken. Fear not, I am with thee. Your faith will grow when you understand the reasons for your praise. The presence of the Lord is with you. We can rejoice in him and we can praise him just for that. I'm going to give you two more reasons really quickly. You can rejoice because he's sending us out into victory. In verse 9, it says the saints, and that's us, we're all the saints of God. It says the saints will execute on the wicked the written judgment. That means that God will send us out to execute his will and judge the wicked spirits in high places, judge the things that hold people captive. Now, I'm going to develop that more in a few minutes, but listen, for the moment, I just want you to remember how Jesus said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Yeah. Here's the point, church. You can rejoice because God never sent anybody out to fail. God only ever sent people out to overcome. Final reason to rejoice is this. We can rejoice because we have his name. David said in verse 3, let them praise his name with the dance. You and I, as believers in Jesus, we have a name. We have a name today that only sons and daughters of the kingdom can take up on their lips. We have a name that ought to make God's people rejoice with dancing. Church, I think some of us need to recover our faith in the name of Jesus. His name, through faith in his name, makes people well. It casts out demons. It makes them bow the knee to God. Why don't we meditate more on the power of that name? Now listen, if you didn't know anything about spiritual warfare or prayer, any of those things, or worship, if all you had, if all you knew about, if all you had was the name of Jesus, I guarantee you would be okay. You would be more than okay. You would overcome because God has given to Jesus the name that is above every name, and God has invested all of his sovereign authority into the name of his son. Yeah, you can clap for that. Gonna be clapping about that one the first couple billion years you're up there, so may as well get started now. Church, think about the marvelous things that God has done for us, and think about the marvelous ways that he is with us. Let them strengthen your faith today. The enemy's been hoping that you would forget these things because they will make you confident to go out once again, step out onto the field of battle and face him. You can grow your faith and you can start to walk in victory once again when you understand the reasons for your praises. Three keys to help us get victory through our praises. And the second one is this: freedom comes when we embrace the reality of praise. Freedom comes when we embrace the reality of praise. Now, is it okay if I preach to you this morning? I mean, you're here, right? So I'm going to preach at you a little. Listen, church, God has a battle plan for you. He wants your praise to become a weapon that will help you overcome. But we will not experience this victory if we cannot walk as free people. Free people. Psalm 149 shows us a people who are free in their worship. Listen, they are a people who have learned to worship without self-consciousness. If you can't say amen, say ouch, right? We may be free in Christ, you may be free from sin, but are we really free people on the inside? Psalm 149 shows us people praising with instruments, with dancing, even singing on their beds. You see, the people of God have liberty. The Bible says what? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But do you know that you can have liberty? It can be yours. It can be your birthright. And yet, you are free still not to exercise it. I won't ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you didn't vote? You can have liberty and not use it. We only become free when we embrace the reality of praise, and I'm going to explain that. Here's what I mean. The enemy will seek to keep you off the battlefield by making you an inhibited person, someone who does not feel free to worship or maybe even to talk about God or the things of God. See, the enemy would love to drive you into a corner and make you an observer of God instead of a participant in what God is doing. He wants you to be a watcher instead of a warrior. The Apostle Paul tells us that as human beings, our makeup, we're composed of three elements: a spirit, a soul, and of course, a body. And your spirit is the part of you that was made to commune with God and was made to interact with the spiritual realm. Your soul is the part of you that was designed to interact with yourself, really, to be self-aware. Your soul is made up of your mind, your emotions, your will, your intellect. And listen, many of us are inhibited. We struggle in our worship because we view worship as something that is emotional instead of something that is spiritual and supernatural. That'll get you after your hamburger and everything at 2 p.m., that's going to hit you like a bomb. But all of us must enter into worship by faith. No matter what our personality, listen, church, you got to get this. You know how the preachers always say, if this is all you take away from this message today, I want you to hear this. You know how preachers always say that? Listen, some of us, we don't enter into worship because we have given ourselves the luxury of saying, well, that's not my thing. That's not me. That's for that crazy person with the flag that almost poked my eye out last week. But that's not me. That's not how I'm wired. That's not who I am. You don't worship because you're on the worship team or because you like flags. You worship because you belong to God. Don't give yourself permission not to worship the God that ransomed you. All of us must enter into worship by faith, no matter what our personality is. We must still choose to enter into worship. Worship is not something that God invented for extroverts and loud people. And guess what? Even if you are an extrovert, which I'm not, but I know a few, even if you are an extrovert, there will still be times when your emotions will make it hard for you to offer praise to God. A lifestyle of worship requires determination. It requires you to yield your will to God, and it may require you to make a sacrifice of praise to God because I don't feel like praising Him today. How many of you know what I'm talking about? David said in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. But notice what he says. David says he will do it. In other words, he has decided to worship. And not just in his heart, but with his mouth. Su boca de él. David determined that no matter what he was going through, he would still offer praise to God. That's because David knew that no matter what he was going through, he served a God who was still worthy of his worship. The Father still deserved his praise. Praise God. And that was David's worship commitment. It's one of the things that made him that famous worshiper that we think of. That was his commitment. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Church, listen, this is the reality of praise that we need to embrace to see victory. It's that praise will cost me something. It may cost me something to rise above how I feel physically at the moment so that I can praise Him. It may cost me something. It may be difficult for me to rise above my personality to praise God or my emotional state. It'll cost me something. Remember I said I was going to preach to you? All right, here it comes. Good thing your seats are soft so you can take the impact. You ready? It'll cost me something to overcome my pride and my fear of looking foolish. Maybe I'm too embarrassed to lift my hands or to jump or to shout. And as people half my age say, it's real talk, right? And listen, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I am not saying that you should come into God's house and pretend that everything is always fine. Every Christian's always fine. How are you? I'm fine. I know you're not. Once in a while, say, having a bad day. Right? We're not always fine. So I don't want you to pretend that you're fine. We don't come to church to play pretend. But what I am saying is that because of that, sometimes it requires faith to praise Him And you have to embrace that reality, that that's how this works. But when we do praise him, guess what? God will come onto the scene for you. Are you stuck today in your worship life? Can you no longer lift up your hands? Has disappointment kept you from clapping or dancing? This is what God says he wants to do for those who mourn. He says he'll give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy in place of mourning, and a garment of praise in place of a spirit of heaviness. If you have a spirit of heaviness on your life, guess what? The world says, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Here, have a pill. But if you have the spirit of heaviness on your life, God says to you, come on, I'm going to make an exchange. I'm going to give you a garment of praise in place of that spirit of heaviness. Come on, that's good. You know what? You know what? Worship has the best side effects of any medicine I know. It'll make you healthier in your soul, which is where many of us need it, and it will make you more free in your personality than you've ever been. David said in Psalm 34 that when we look to God, we become radiant. You will begin to light up with his light when we worship in his glory. Some people look like they have a dark cloud over them all the time, but some people have a glory cloud over them. It's because they pressed into God in worship. And church, I want to encourage you today, embrace the reality of praise. Embrace that reality that praise can be uncomfortable for our souls. We don't like to feel that people are watching us or that people are critiquing our worship, but do it anyway. Put all of that aside. Let's imitate David. See, David knew that his worship was for an audience of one. If you're wondering who that is in the picture that's been up there the last 5 minutes, that's David's wife, Michal. David's own wife, Michal, watched him out of her window, and she criticized him for being excessive in worship. Excessive in worship. And when she mocked him for being undignified, for acting undignified, you know what David said? David said, well, that's too bad. I will become even more undignified than that. You see, David wasn't dancing for his wife. He wasn't even dancing for the people that he was ruling over. The Bible says he danced before the Lord with all his might. Praise God. The Bible talks about clapping and shouting and leaping and so on. And in those outward expressions of worship, there is a new depth of spiritual freedom that you can experience, but only if you let yourself. It's not about, listen, this is not about emotionalism, right? You know, I love the Yankees, you know, I get it. I lost my voice once, you know, at a New York Giants game. I get it. But it's not about emotionalism. It's about being free to use, to utilize the emotions that God actually gave us to serve him in a way that honors him. You will know a greater freedom once you accept that reality of praise and just embrace it. Be willing, like David, to step out and go into deeper waters than you ever have before. If you never clapped before, well, maybe today's your day. If you never shouted before or jumped, well, service ain't over yet. You may still get a chance. Let God make you free. Three lessons from the Holy Spirit on praise. Faith grows when you understand the reasons for your praise. Freedom comes when you embrace the reality of praise. And number three, your promised future comes as a result of your praise. Look again, amen. Look again at Psalm 149, starting in verse 5. David writes, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints, or this honor belongs to all his saints. That's what that means. Now, In ancient Israel, God sometimes sent his own people out to destroy wicked nations. If you know the Bible, then you know that to be the case. Sometimes God sent judgment himself directly, but other times God used his own people to wage war against the wicked and destroy them. So that was part of the mission that God gave to his ancient people Israel, at least occasionally. But church, I want to be super clear as I can be on this. That is not our mission. It is not the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ to do those things in the natural. And perhaps nothing has ever injured the cause of Christ more than people supposedly waging war in the name of Jesus. So when you read those words of warfare in Psalm 149, realize this, that even if those words were literal for David, they are not literal for Christians. They are not literal for you and me. For us, they refer to spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is when we fight against our spiritual enemies through the power of God. And Psalm 149 is a picture of God sending out his people to overcome the spiritual enemies that are coming against them. Do you know that human beings are not my enemy? I'm not called to fight human beings. I'm called to give them Jesus, and so are you. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 who your enemies are. He says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against spiritual enemies. And fortunately, God has given us some spiritual weapons to accomplish that task. Paul says, is it okay to dig into the word at this level this morning? All right. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, "Although we walk in the flesh, we do not make war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," meaning they are not according to this fleshly human strength, "but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Church, some of the most powerful weapons that God gives his people are the weapons of praise and worship. You remember why that is? We talked about it last week. It's because God inhabits our praises. The Bible says in Psalm 22, he lives in our praise. And when we praise him, that's when he begins to manifest his presence. And you can sense it. You sensed that this morning in our worship, didn't we? And when God's glory fills the room, Satan and his power can no longer stand there. When we worship Jesus, the atmosphere is cleansed and blessing gets released on you. Now, I was very bold in this naming this point of the sermon, right? But when I say that your promised future comes as a result of your praise, I'm not trying to overstate the matter. I'm not trying to oversimplify things. But church, here's the truth. Listen, there is an entire realm of blessing that God has for you, an entire realm of things that God wants to do for you that we will not experience without engaging in this kind of praise and worship and spiritual warfare. That's just the way it is. So imagine all the blessings God has for you as a spectrum, let's say from A to Z. But if you never engage, if you never bring the power of praise and worship into your life, you maybe will only get as far as LMNOP, and that's as far as you're going to get. But God has more on his spectrum of blessing to give to you. But it takes something. It takes the presence of God being released into your life in praise and worship to see it come to pass in your life. Why? Because you have an enemy that's desperately trying to keep you from grabbing a hold of those things and having those blessings. I believe we will never experience the fulfillment of what the Bible calls all of his great and precious promises unless we praise God and see his power and his glory get released into our circumstances. So can I tell you what happens when you praise God? You know that promised land that God promised to give you? It opens up in front of you when you lift up a shout of praise. It happened at Jericho. There was no wall, I don't care how high they build it, that could stop God from moving and knocking it down when his people praised him. Start to praise your God and see him. Watch him bring you into the promised land. Believe God for it. You need to hear from God today. How many people in this house need to hear a clear word from heaven? Come on, don't be embarrassed. Look at that. How many people want to hear God's voice? Well, I read in my Bible that when the prophet needed to hear God and he was in the midst of a bunch of not nice people, he said, "Bring me a musician." And when they started worshiping, you know what happened? The Holy Spirit came down and the prophet was able to get his word from heaven. It can happen to you too when you worship. Believe God for it. You sensing the enemy's oppression in your life maybe? Well, you know what? Saul got delivered when David sang a new song unto the Lord. Saul got relief from demons when David started playing his harp. And you can experience the same thing. Start playing some anointed worship music in your home. Let the glory of the Lord fill your house, and that dark cloud will lift. Believe God for it. I want to tell you today that God's presence can shatter addiction. The rejection and all the self-hatred that the enemy has dumped on you have to go, because the Bible says the anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing doesn't break the yoke. You know, if you just take the yoke and break it, guess what? The devil can get some crazy glue and stick that thing back together. No, the Word of God says the anointing destroys the yoke. Develop a lifestyle of worship and watch the glory of God increase on your life. You ever meet some old-time person, a very saintly, godly person? They were just so full of God in their life. It's because they have been pursuing the presence of God and God's Spirit all their life. So over time, they're just developed. You know, we feel and worship the manifest presence of God, but over time, those old godly saints develop the acculturated presence, the cultured presence of God on their lives. And as you do the same, you just watch as the glory of God increases on your life. Watch the anointing destroy the yokes that the devil has put on you. Believe God for it. Maybe you're feeling trapped and stuck in here today. Not in here. This is where you want to be at the moment. But in life, you know. Listen, I read in the book of Acts that Paul and Silas were bound in prison. But around about midnight, they started to praise. God sent an earthquake, and he broke their chains. Revival broke out, and a bunch of people got saved and baptized too. And the glory of God released through your praise can break your prison walls. Believe God for it. Maybe you're in a no-win situation today. You wish Monday weren't coming because, you know, on Monday there's mail and there's business emails, and maybe the mortgage is overdue. Maybe court papers just got served, and you say it's an impossible situation. Oh, but nothing is impossible with God. Just begin to praise him in the face of your enemy. Get addicted to praise and worship. Ask God to make you addicted to his presence like you used to be addicted to that white powder. That's for somebody. Remember how Israel got invaded. They were outnumbered and surrounded. But King Jehoshaphat, he sent some singers out in front of the army. Yeah, they ain't doing that at the Pentagon, right? Jehoshaphat sent some singers out in front of the army, and he sent them out to praise the beauty of holiness and to say, "Hallelujah, for his mercy endures forever." And when they did that, God sent confusion upon the enemy, and they started killing each other. Now, why don't you let your praise create some panic in your enemy's camp today? Start praising God in the face of your enemies and watch them scatter. Believe God for it. Believe God for the results of your praise. Worship team, you can come back. Please help us out if you would. Listen, this is so cool. You got to get this. David said in Psalm 8, "Out of the mouths of babes you have ordained or appointed or called for strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Now, enemy, we understand, the avenger was the person that was coming after you like an assassin to kill you because you had hurt or killed his family member. And so they would hunt you down all over like an assassin. But when Jesus quoted that passage, Jesus quoted it like this. He said, out of the mouths of babes, you have prepared, he didn't say strength, he said, you have prepared praise. Do you see that? Jesus connected praise with strength. Jesus equated praise with strength. You see that? God has made praise, listen, God has made praise to be the thing that silences your enemy and shuts down the assassin that is coming after you. That needs a shout. And you know what? It's great. What's great too in this? It doesn't say it comes out of the mouths of apostles and prophets. It doesn't say it comes out of the mouth of some pastors and people like Josh. Isn't Josh awesome, by the way? Let's embarrass him. We love you, Josh. It doesn't come out of Bible school students. Jesus says, no. It's out of the mouth of babes. Simple people with childlike faith. Maybe they don't even have enough of your language to praise God or enjoy church in your language as much as you do. Even newborn baby Christians can praise God like that and see his power released. Believe God for it. Lift up the high praises of God, David said. Those loud praises and those praises that talk about him being exalted on high. Those are the high praises of God. Believe God for powerful results when you praise him that way. Believe God to show you in your own life what David wrote about and prophesied really in Psalm 149, the devil and all of his princes being bound up in chains. Does that look good? His evil schemes are bound up when you start praising the Lord. Believe God for it. David says that the honor of binding up the devil's works is for all of us, David said. That honor belongs to all of his saints. No matter who you are qualified to praise God and see the devil destroyed as a result. So let the saints be joyful. Yeah, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. I'll close with this. In the ancient world, the bed was not just the place for sleep. The bed was where you went to lie down to mourn. M-O-U-R-N, Jason. The bed was the place of mourning. In Psalm 6, David talked about this. David said, all night long, he said, I have caused my bed to swim, and I drenched my couch with tears. David was saturating his bed and his couch with tears. The bed was the place of mourning. But church, I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter if the devil has been making you weep, because my Bible says weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Instead of mourning on our beds, why don't we take this page out of David's book? Take David's advice. Instead of mourning on your bed, why don't you start singing on your bed instead? Like David said, listen, church, turn your place of weeping into a place of worship. Pick up the two-edged sword of God's word and start to declare those judgments that God has written against his enemy. Start to declare out loud with your mouth the precious promises of God that enable you to tap into his power and become more like him. So let's believe God for it. Victory will come. Victory will come when we understand the reasons for our praise. Victory comes when we embrace the reality of praise. And victory will come as a result of your powerful praise. Come on, stand together. Let's give Jesus praise in his house. Come on, give him a clap offering. Give him a shout. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Before we leave today, We need to put this into practice. So we just need to spend a few moments lifting up some high praises to God. Amen. So I want to invite you, if you're willing, you don't have to, but I want to invite you to come down here to the front and join us at this altar, and we're going to lift up worship. We're going to lift up some high praises to God. Come on all the way down to the front so that people can join you. And while you're coming, Jason's going to lead us. We're going to sing that song we were singing in worship, Agnus Dei. It talks about the greatness and the worthiness of God. Come on, Jason, lead us. Come on, lift a hand and bless him in this. Come on, lift it up. Would you lift your face to him? Lift your hand, lift both hands. Just begin to adore the Lord. Just begin to tell him that he's great. Begin to tell him that he's wonderful, that he's altogether lovely. Come on, open your mouth, church. Open your mouth. If you don't know what to say, just say, I love you, Jesus. Let it come from the heart in spirit and in truth. We bless you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Father. We love you, Spirit of God. Come into the Lord. Come in the beauty of your presence, God. Come in the beauty of your presence, God. Thank you. I think for some people here today, I think we need to make this your graduation day. Some of us, we need to go a little deeper out into the waters of worship with God than we have before. So if you've never raised your hands before in God's house, I want you to make this your graduation day. If you never raised your hands to the Lord in worship, I want you to raise your hands to him when we sing this song again. Let today be the day that you lift up your hands to God in worship and surrender. If you never clapped before in God's house, let this be the day that you graduate to a deeper level and clap your hands unto him. The Bible says, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. So let today be the day that you graduate. Come on, lift up those high praises. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, Jesus! Hallelujah. Now, I would say that some of you maybe need to graduate up to the level of dancing, but we're a little crowded here. We don't want anybody to catch an elbow. But, so maybe just do the best you can. Maybe you can leap. Maybe you could jump in place before the Lord to express joy, right? I mean, isn't there in the Bible, when somebody got touched by the Lord, remember, he went walking and leaping and praising God. So maybe there's a leap that needs to come out. If you can't come out with a dance, maybe there's a leap that needs to come out today. Come on, we're going to sing. We're going to sing that song again, and then we're going to run through it once, and Jason's going to end it. And when he ends that song, I want us to release high praises to God. Hands up, clapping, shouting, maybe a leap and a jump. Come on, take us in there, Jason. Come on, release those high praises. Come on, lift up a shout. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Come on, shout to the Lord. Release my praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, shout his name. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We lift up a shout to you, Lord. Your people, God. Release your people as we worship. Come on, come on. Make a shout. Somebody shout the name of Jesus in this house. Jesus! Yeah! Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So after you've had that burger today, need to go back and read Psalm 34. Now you understand why David said, oh, magnify, make him great. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt, lift up, let us exalt his name together. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And church, you can take, you don't need to be in church to do this. Do you know that? This will help you on 287. This will help you at work. Pastor Nick, I'm too busy. I don't have time, you know, to be that worship guy. Listen, David said, 7 times a day do I praise thee. I think David was as busy as us. He was running a whole country, okay? He was a little busy, but he took those praise breaks. You could take one too. So, well, I'm busy at work. Well, I bet you go to the bathroom. I bet you check your look. I bet you go to the vending machine. See, 7 times. If you do what David did, if you take that simple habit that David did, guess what? That means that you are always either just coming out of God's presence or just on your way in. And then you can overcome at work too. You can overcome at home. You can change the atmosphere. Take those high praises of God into your house and change the atmosphere. Let's release his presence into our home, into our workplace, over our kids, over ourselves. And it doesn't take that long. And listen, you know why you feel better than you felt 7 minutes ago when I had you walk down here? It's because the anointing destroys the yoke. And if you become a praiser like that, you won't be given the opportunity to the devil to put so many yokes on you. Or if he does put one on you, you'll feel it, and you'll just praise that thing right off. Let's pray, church, before we take our leave of each other. Let's just pray for God to seal these words and these things on our hearts today. Come on, lift up a hand to him. Lord, thank you for the people of God. Thank you for this precious reminder from King David, Lord, that we are called to be joyful in glory. We are called to experience your glory and to be joyful, not ashamed, but joyful in glory. So, Father, we pray that you would help us to remember the reasons that we have to praise you. We pray that you would help us, Lord, to overcome embarrassment, self-hatred, self-loathing, inhibition, and that we would embrace the uncomfortable reality of praise. God, would you make us to be a free people on the inside, that we will no longer be inhibited in worship or inhibited about the things of God. And Father, would you help us increase our faith, Lord, as we look into the Word of God, as we read the Psalms, and as we read the great testimonies, Lord, of the heroes of the faith. Help us, Lord, to take faith away from that. Help us to believe you for great results from our praise. God, as our praises go up to you, as they ascend to you, as our worship goes up this week, let your glorious anointing yoke breaking presence come down and be released in every area of our life, Lord, in our family, in our house, in our workplace, Lord, in our physical health. Father, I speak your health over your people, divine healing, Lord God, over your people right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody has a very painful right shoulder, and the Lord is healing that right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the anointing break all the yokes in our lives this week. And we give you thanks for all these things in the great name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you, church.